You have your Bible, we'll turn to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. We'll begin, for sake of time, we'll begin verse number 3. It said, "Then this Daniel was preferred above presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, of which altereth not.' Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication for his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' And the king answered and said, 'The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king, 'That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When we came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them under the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den." I want to preach this morning for a little while, if God will be our help, on a servant of a living God. A servant of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. What we see here in the writings of Daniel, Daniel's speaking of, and it's speaking of Daniel the servant. Amen. It's good to be a servant of God. But I want to say this morning on the authority of the Word of God, that God is a living God. It's already been said this morning in Sunday school that God is a living God. Amen. He's not dead. He's not buried. He's not somewhere in a tomb. Praise God, but He's alive and well. Many verses of Scripture teaches us about the living God. It tells us about a living God. But it's a funny thing that the very thing that we're prone to forget is that God is alive. Amen? That He is a living God. And we know it's been written. It's written in the Word of God. It's written multiple times that we serve a living God. Our God's not dead. Our God's not take journeys. Our God is the God of the universe. Our God is the hope and the God of promise. But in our daily lives, praise God, if we ain't careful, praise God, we lose sight of a God that's alive. We lose sight, praise God. That's what we lose sight of most often is that God is alive and well. Amen. He's alive and well every day. Let me just say this morning, praise God, He's alive on Monday just like He is on Sunday. Amen. He's alive on Friday just like He is on Sunday. Amen. God's always been alive. He's always will be alive. He's alive, praise God, that we can have as a representative to mankind. Praise God. He's the same, praise God, today that He's always been. He's alive and well. Amen. He's the same God that's been the same God for 3,000, for 4,000 years. He's still the same God today that He was then, that He is now. Amen. We're living a day in our people want to belittle God. They want to make Him something that He ain't. But praise God, I want to tell you today that He is a living God. He's alive and well this morning. Amen. He don't have any problems with His mental faculties. He don't have any power, any problem with His power. Praise God. It's the same that it's always been. God is an all-powerful God, praise God, who ministers for me and you. Amen. He has the same sovereignty that He's always had, the same power that He's always had, praise God, for the last 6,000 years, 10,000 years, 100,000 years. He's always been God, and He always will be God. He's alive and well. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, alive and well, to make intercession for us. I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? Praise the Lord. But it seems like we so easily forget that God is alive, that we serve a living Savior. Praise God. The same God, praise God, as a sovereign God in power and might, is the same God that's gracious, praise God, toward those who love Him and serve Him. Amen. I want you to think about that this morning. Amen. Those that love Him, do you love Him this morning? Amen. I love Him with all my heart, praise God. Because He died for my sins, according to the Scriptures. I praise God. And I want to serve Him this morning because He did that for me. He's done so much for us. He's given us such a blessed hope and promise, praise God. We ought to be desirous to do something for Him. Amen. We ought to brag on Him every chance we get. And we ought to look for a chance. Amen. To lift up the name of our Lord, praise God. To praise Him and give Him the glory that He deserves. Because He is more than gracious, praise God, to those that love Him, praise God, that love Him and are serving Him today. We're to be servants of the Lord. We see that Daniel was a servant of the Lord, praise God. A servant of the Most High God. Amen. He was a servant to the point that other folks recognized it. Are people recognizing today that you're a servant of the Lord? Hello? Do they even know that you're saved? Amen. Amen? Or do they even know that you're saved? You know, it's easy to sit in the church house and say, well, I'm saved and I love Jesus. It's a whole lot different story when you get out there in the world. Amen. Praise God. They brought Daniel and his friends into captivity in Babylon. And praise God, they would expect them to just fall in and take what was given them. But Daniel said, I'm not going to take of the meat of the king. Praise God. He said, just give me just beans and water. He said, it'll suffice us. Amen. He said, I'm not going to partake of the things of this world. Because God is a living God, whether it's down at your house, my house, whether it's down in Babylon, praise God, no matter where it's at, God is still God. He's still a living God today. He's alive and well, praise God. Amen. He can still do the things for us today that He's done for others down through the centuries. Amen. You believe that today? that God is still the same. He's a living God that can still do the same things for us today that He's done in the past. Amen. When we pray and believe in Him, we put our faith and trust in Him. Praise God. You say, Pastor, how can He do it? How can He do it? Because He's an unchanging God. He doesn't change. Praise God. He's all-powerful. Praise God. He's a living God that never changes. Amen. Malachi chapter number 3, verse 6, He says this. He said, for the Lord says this. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. In other words, God says, listen, I'm the Lord, I'm alive, I'm not changing. He said, I don't change my character. He said, I don't change my plans. And He said, I don't change my mind. Amen. That's why we can have in the volume of book, the mind of God. Praise the Lord. You take it to the bank, praise God, it'll check out. Because God Almighty is in control. He's in charge. And He said there's one like unto Him. In Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. He changes not. He's always the same. Ain't you glad you serve a God that's a living and He's unchangeable? Ain't you glad that you serve a Savior who's alive and well and He's unchangeable? Our God ain't wishy-washy. Amen. Praise God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? Praise God. Hey, it's a blessing for those that trust in Him. Amen. For you and I that trust in the Lord, praise God, it's a blessing that's that way. Because it's that way, He can't fail to keep His promises. He'll keep His promises to us. He'll keep His promise to forgive us of our sins. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I don't serve some wishy-washy God to get me aggravated and frustrated with me and thump me in the head and cast me off into hell. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we ain't God. Amen. We'd get aggravated, frustrated, and we'd cast off people. But praise God, God don't. God's unchangeable, praise God. He loved you from the beginning. He loved you so much and He sent His only begotten Son, praise God, to suffer the torment and the torture of the cross of Calvary and the things that led up to that and to die for the sins of the world. Amen. Amen. Bless His holy name. So I'm glad to God that we serve. The good news is because He's an unchanging and a living God, praise God, He offers a promise of the forgiveness of salvation. He offers a promise, praise God, to protect us from evil. Amen. Now this is where the rubber meets the road. God said if we'll trust Him, praise God, pray, believe, and said we'll receive the things that we need from God. We get that help from Him. He ministers to our heart, praise God, and He keeps us from the evil one. Amen. Who is the evil one? The evil one is the devil and Satan, Lucifer, the deceiver of men. And because we love God and because we realize He's a living God, because we realize He's unchangeable God, we put our faith and trust in Him, knowing that He will help us. In the volume of the book, Bible says it's written of Him, so that we have a road map of life. So we'll know how to traverse through this, praise God, and end up on the other side. With a destination that's sure. Amen. I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? The good news, praise God, is we have an unchanging God. Now, the bad news for those that's lost and undone in this world, for old sinners in this world, praise God, is that He is an unchanging God. And that, praise God, that means that God will not forget their sinfulness. Amen. God won't forget it. He won't overlook the sin of this world. There's a lot of people today believe they can get by with it. Amen. You may get by with it here, but we'll stand and give an account because God is an unchangeable God, praise God, who holds us all accountable. Amen. Amen. He's a living God. He said that's why we're supposed to love God and be a servant unto Him. Amen. That means to give Him service, to lift Him up, to praise Him for His goodness and His mercy. Amen. A servant, the servant of the living God. What does a servant of the living God do? Number one, a servant of the living God walks with Him. Amen. Praise God. We walk with the Lord. How do we do that? We follow His Word. We follow Him in His Word. Amen. His Word speaks to us. It draws us along, praise God. It reacts with us. It corrects us. It ministers to us. It shows us the errors of our ways and the goodness of His. It shows us the love that He has for us so we can manifest that to others along the way. This thing's bigger than we are, youngins. Amen. Because we serve a living Savior. Because He's alive and well today. And because He's alive and well, we walk with Him. We put our faith and our trust in Him. We go with Him, praise God. We look unto Him. Amen. We look to the Lord. We don't trust in ourselves. Newsflash, self will let you down. Amen. Self will leave you discouraged on the side of the road. Amen. Just about the time that you think, I got this. Amen. You'll realize you don't have nothing. Amen. Without the Lord. We need Him, praise God, to help us. So the servant of the Lord's walking with Him. The servant of the Lord's looking to Him for His help. Amen. And the servant of the Lord's not only looking to Him for His help, but a servant of the Lord is expecting Him to help. Amen. You know what's wrong with most of us in our fundamental Bible-believing churches? We don't expect God to help us. Amen? We don't expect Him to. Praise God. Why not? Now let's just slow down here a minute. Think about it this morning. Why do we not expect God to help us in a timely fashion? In a loving manner? Amen? Is He not our Heavenly Father? Amen? 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 Amen. Does He not care enough for us that He gave His only begotten Son for us? Amen. Amen. So that means He loves us. He cares for us. Praise God. He's there to help us. So we ought to expect Him to be there. The Bible teaches that when we pray believing, we shall receive. Amen. In other words, what the Bible teaches us that when we pray and we talk to our Heavenly Father in glory in Jesus' name, we are to expect Him to move upon the scene. We are to expect Him to do things for us. Now, it won't be according to our will, it'll be according to His. Amen. When we ask according to His will, He said we have those petitions that we ask of God. It may not play out like the novel that we have in our head, but praise God, God will work it out. Amen. For His glory. That's what He does. But when we expect Him to do what He does, and we got to realize that He will never fail us. Amen. He will always come through for me and you. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, He will always come through. But it takes me and you believing that He is a living God. Amen. He's not something that's false or made up. He's not a person that lived and died and laying in a tomb somewhere like these other so-called gods. That He's a living God. Praise God. And knowing that, praise God, we can know that He will not fail you. When you put our faith in Him, He'll come through. Amen. There was a fella. Anybody ever heard of George Mueller? Amen. If you haven't ever studied, you ought to get his autobiography and read of the story of George Mueller. George Mueller had a big burden for the orphans. Amen. In Bristol, England. In the 1800s, he had a major burden for them. And his wife, they had a burden, and they went out and they began to collect these young ladies that was in the streets of Bristol. And they began to bring them into their home, and they began to minister to them, and they began to teach them to be servants and to love the Lord, praise God, and to be the kind of person, amen, that God would be pleased with. George Mueller did that. And he did it through prayer. He did it as a servant of God. Amen. He didn't start out that way. George Mueller started out just like all of us. He started out as a rebellious little old boy. Amen. Said by the age of 10, he was stealing money from his daddy. He was stealing money from his uncle. He was stealing and robbing and cheating. By the time he was 14, he was playing cards. In the roulettes and the things in the taverns and the places where a young man should have never been. Amen. Can you relate? Amen. We see his life. But we see, and we see how it played. He was to the point by the time he was 14 years old that when his mother was dying, he didn't even have concern about her passing. Amen. But something happened to George Mueller along the way. Somewhere George Mueller heard about a youth meeting that they was having, praise God, at someone's house, and George started going to that meeting. And in that meeting, George began to realize that they was something different. They was something that was peculiar about this man, Jesus Christ. And they said by the end of the week that George Mueller, praise God, fell down upon his bed, beside his bed one night, praise God, and he began to cry out to God. He said, I'm an old wicked, sorry sinner. Lord, would you please forgive me? And Lord, would you come into my life? Amen. He said, well, what happened, Pastor? The documentaries tell us that it changed George Mueller in such a spectacular way. He said that all his friends, all his acquaintance, praise God, begin to realize that there was something changed in George. That Brother Mueller wasn't, praise God, the same Mueller that he used to be. Amen. It changed his life forever. And so he said he had this burden for these orphans. For these little children. Think about it. It was the same kind of little young'uns that he was. Amen. Nobody cared about, nobody loved them, nobody cared what they did. But George had a burden, and so he began to build a place. Had a little place where he had them 30 girls. And they began to outgrow that. So he began to pray about God, whatever your will would be done. But Lord, I want to do those things. I want to be a servant of thee. I want to be able to help these children. Hello? If there's ever been a time that we ought to be on our face and crying out, Lord, please help us to help the children. We've got another generation that's coming along right now that's lost without God, and there's a whole lot of them that's never going to see God. Amen. I can tell you little children right now, it's growing up at home from mom and daddy's into witchcraft and sorcery and everything else. Wickedness, stuff they post is wicked as hell. Their little children never stand a chance but for God. They take people like me and you, people like George Mueller, praise God, have a burden in his heart. But he had a burden in his heart. He became a servant of God. Amen. Said, Pastor, what difference does that make? God began to hear and answer his prayers. Amen. He prayed and prayed. He prayed and said, God, please, Lord, we don't have enough property. We don't have enough place for these children. We need a different place. And God put it on his heart. He said, I want you to purchase I want to purchase this Ashley Down property. It became Ashley Down Orphanage. Amen. Now listen, I'm going somewhere. And said he prayed and prayed about it, and he said, well, I'm going to go see the owner. He found out that it was for sale. And the owner wanted 200, I believe it's 200 pounds for it. Amen. Back then, back 18, that's 250 some dollars in that time. George went to the house and he went to his workplace and couldn't find the owner. He wasn't there. Amen. So he went to his house and looked for him there, and the owner wasn't there. And a lot of people would have gotten discouraged and said, well, it just ain't the will of God. I'll just let it go. But Brother Mueller prayed God with a touch of God. He said, maybe it's not meant to be the day, but praise God, maybe tomorrow. And he went back and he fell on his face and he prayed and said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Said the next morning there was a knock on the door. Brother Mueller went to the door. One of the people that worked in the home called him. He went to the door, and there was that fella that owned the property. He said, Mr. Mueller, said, I come to see you. He said, well, come in. Said, it's good to see you. He said, I got to tell you something. He said, I've been up all night. I can't sleep. He said, there's been something all over me. And it said, I come to tell you this morning, I want you to have that property, an Ashley Down property. He said, if you'd have it, he said, I'll let you have it all for 120. 120 pounds. 254 to 152. Amen. And said to Brother Mueller, praise God, God give him the whole 7 acres. in Bristol, England. Amen. Because God had, pray, hey, because he had faith in God, because he was a servant of the Lord. Said they got to, they built up till they had over 100 folks there. They come a day that they didn't have nothing to put on the table. The next day they was going to be without. And said Brother Mueller's praying, he's seeking God. He wouldn't take a handout. He wouldn't take any government funding. Because he said they'll want to dictate to us what we do and how we raise the children. Amen. So he didn't take any handouts. And said the next that evening that there was a knock on the door. And so there's a lady come to the door with an envelope. She said, here, said, I'd like, the Lord laid on my heart to give you that. So they took it, the servant took it back in there to Mr. Mueller, gave it to him. And it was enough food to sustain them for several days. Amen. Over 100 people counting the staff. God did that because of a servant of the Lord. Amen. God did that. And then they come another day. They were without. The fake folks that worked there, and they were godly people. The only ones he allowed to work there was those that loved the Lord, had been saved, and were living by the Word of God, that were true to God, that were servants of the Most High, servants of the living God. And said it was one day that they come up and they told him, said, sir, said we're out of food again. Said, we don't have anything for tomorrow. He said, okay. He said, that's fine. He said, the Lord will provide. And said, he got to praying. Said, the next morning they got up, still nothing. Said, that's just the folks that worked there said they got together and they prayed, they agonized with God. They did all they could do. And they said, Mr. Mueller, and they said, Mr. Mueller, so what do you want us to do? Said, we don't have a thing to put on the table this morning. He said, what would you want us to do? He said, go ahead and get the children. He said, and bring them to the table. Amen. So I got the children up, got them ready, got them dressed, got them ready to go, and they brought them and they gathered them around the table. Mr. Mueller, they said, he went to the head of the table. He said, young'uns, let's pray. And he said, dear Lord God, we thank you for the bounty you're about to supply. We thank you for what you're about to give us, God, today. We're thankful, Lord, that you are a true and a living God. And we're thankful to you. We just want to praise you for what you're offering us today. He said he hadn't no more than got done praying. There was a on the door. They opened the door and there was the baker from down in the city. He said, Mr. Mueller, I don't know what's going on, but God woke me up in the middle of the night. And he said, you need to be a bacon. And so I couldn't sleep, so I went to bacon, I went to bacon, I went to bacon. And so I've got so much extra. And so I was just wondering, said the Lord just spoke to my heart, take it down there and give it to Mr. Mueller. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. And so the baker brought him a substantial amount of food. Praise God, and they was praising God and giving glory. Hey, they hadn't even got done slicing it and passing it out to the children before there's another knock on the door. They went to the door, and guess who it was? It was the milkman. He said, I had my fresh milk this morning, said I was making my deliveries, and I got right outside your place, and the axle broke out of my cart. He said, I've got to get this weight, this milk off of it, so I can get it back to the shop and get it fixed. Can you? He said, I believe you can take this milk. Amen. Said, Mr. Mueller, they took the milk, they took it in. And Mr. Mueller said, young'uns, let's give thanks, let's praise God. Said, you realize today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you didn't give us old stale crusty bread, but God, you give us fresh bread out of the oven. God, you didn't give us day old milk, but God, you give us fresh milk out of the towel. God be the glory. Amen. Said, Pastor, why are you saying all that? I said all that to say this, at the service of the Most High, the living God, praise God, we're His little children, and He's promised to take care of us. Amen. Just like it did. That wasn't the end of the story. Hundreds and hundreds of stories just like that. Amen. Where God blessed. They said by the end of his life, George Mueller had taken in over $7 million and passed it out, helping in different places. from promoting the scriptures to passing out scriptures to communities that didn't have none, and different things in his ministry, praise God, that God used him for his glory because he was a servant of the living God. Amen. I guess I'm saying that this morning, wondering what kind of blessings are we missing out on? Because we're not servants of the living God. Amen. We ought to be servants of the living God, doing what we can for them. So why? Because if you come back to your text, I want to just look at a couple of scriptures real quickly this morning. The Bible says that Daniel, praise God, was there and they was casting him into the den of lions. Verse 16, the Bible says that then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, now watch this. He said, thy God whom thou servest continually. Amen. That means without ceasing. Amen. He will deliver thee. Amen. Is that a question or a statement? There's not a question mark at the end of that sentence. That is a statement. Amen. This king knew something about Daniel. This king knew something about Daniel's character. He knew something about Daniel's steadfastness. He knew about Daniel's intellect. He knew about Daniel's power with the people. And it was through God Almighty. This king had faith, praise God, that God would take care of Daniel, praise God. That he was a servant continually. Now that means that he was an intermittent servant. He wasn't a hit-and-miss servant. Hello? I think a whole lot of us are hit-and-miss servants. We're good servants when it's convenient. Amen? And we're not when it ain't. Praise God. But God's able if we're a continual servant unto Him. Praise the Lord. And so you see the stories that rocks on. The king went to, he went in, couldn't sleep all night. Didn't have no music, didn't have no entertainment. Praise God, he was in anguish for Daniel. He loved Daniel. Praise God, he's seen the life of Daniel. Praise God, he was there. He wanted to protect Daniel. He wanted to help Daniel. Praise God. He wanted to do for Daniel, praise God, that Daniel done for him. He said, when he came to the line, to the den, verse 20, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Amen. Praise God, listen. He said, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, now watch this. Servant of the living God is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lion's den. Amen. Praise God. The king cried out. Praise God. Said, Daniel, a servant of the living God. Praise God. Is he able to deliver you from the lion's den? Amen. Praise God. Daniel, are you okay? Is the God that you serve continually able to deliver you from the lion's den? Listen to what Daniel said. He said, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence is found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt? Amen. Praise God. Daniel said, hey, listen. I praise God, the God that I serve, the God that you're talking about, the God that I serve continually, he's delivered again. He sent his angel and he closed the mouth of those lions. Praise his holy name. What a God we serve. Amen. The same God Daniel served. The same God that Daniel followed continually, praise God, is the same God that you and I serve today. Bless his holy name. Praise God. He will deliver us in Psalms 34. The Bible says this in verse number 7. Said the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse number 8, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 19, he says this. You say, well, preacher, things we have to go through. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. Praise God. That one that that one that serves the Lord, praise God. That one that loves the living God. Amen. God will deliver them. See, this wasn't a miracle. This was a supernatural deliverance. Amen. We got in a day in the air, praise God. We'll believe in magic and everything else, but we won't believe in a supernatural deliverance. But we have a supernatural God, praise God, that's able to deliver in a supernatural manner. We want to call them miracles. We've become so nonchalant on this word miracle. We throw it around like loose change. We'll get up in the morning, get dressed, and we'll jump in the car and we'll hurry to work. And then we'll tell co-workers, say, boy, traffic's so bad. It's just a miracle I'm here today. Man. Like it was something supernatural took place to get you there. Now, the highways we travel on today, it's almost supernatural. But it's not a miracle, praise God. It's just something that we do. But God is still in the supernatural business, praise God, still doing supernatural things for those who believe. Amen? Those that are servants of God, praise the Lord. At our conversion, when we become born-again believers, God begins to do something supernatural in our lives. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4, he said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Now this is supernatural. Even when we were dead in sins. Now he didn't say that we were sick, that we needed medical attention. He said that you and I were dead in our sins. He said, "Hath quickened us." That means to be made alive. He said, "You were dead in Christ." If you ain't saved this morning, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're dead. You're dead in your sins. In the eyes of God, you're dead. He said, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Amen. Because what took place? It was a supernatural salvation. He said, George Mueller, whenever he got saved, said when he got up from the side of his bed after he had asked God to forgive him, he was a mean little boy. But he wasn't too mean for God. God saved him by His mercy. He done a supernatural, praise God, work in his heart. Praise God. He got up, and when he got up, he wasn't the same. He was never the same again. Amen. I believe that, praise God, as the children of God, we oughtn't to be the same. Once God saves us, we ought to be different. The Bible says we ought to be a peculiar people. We're in this world, but not of this world. We ought to act different, live different, behave different. Amen. We ought to act and react different to things that happen in this world. Why? Because we're a servant of the Most High God. And we need God to help us. Full circle. Daniel was a servant. He said, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, He will deliver you." I wonder this morning, church, listen to me and I'm done. What if we don't serve Him continually? What if we're hit and miss in our service to the Lord? You reckon He might be hit and miss to us? Amen? Waiting on us, praise God, to get back to Him, to call upon Him, to trust in Him so that He can help us. He said, when we call and we ask believing, we shall receive. We can't ask believing, praise God, if we're alienated from God. Amen? Something to think about. The Lord's our witness, praise God. And He said He wants us to be servants of the Most High God, of the living God. Amen. Not the gods of this world, not the gods of the flesh. Be self-pleasers, self-gratifiers. But He said we ought to be servants of God. Amen. So that God can deliver us. So that the living God, our God, can deliver us again. That's what he does the best. He is a delivering God today. Amen. And at our conversion, you know what George Mueller did at his conversion? You know what made him different? What made him unique? When he got saved, praise God, he didn't get up and turn back to the world. He got up. Now listen to me and I'm done. He got up and he turned into the arms of the Lord. Amen. He walked right into the, he got up into the arms of the Lord, praise God, and embraced the Lord with every fiber in him. Amen. Was he perfect? No, none of us are perfect. But he was a man of faith. He was a man of encouragement. He was a man of courage. And every bit of that came from the Lord. Amen. When everybody was saying, well, you ain't going to make it. What are you going to do now? He said, the same thing I've always done. He said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Amen.